It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 8th day of July, 2020. This is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Hi, glory, because it's Pram Eating Wednesday, brethren and sistren. Oh, it is. It so very is. And, of course, if you'd like to participate in the virtual online congregation, I encourage you to go on by headon.live, and if you've never done so before, pick yourself out a screen, new screen name and a password, and jump into the chat room. You'll be immediately greeted by congregants Jimmy and Anatole and Squeaky as we await pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgia Stan. Yes, indeed. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Brethren and sistren, it's still mighty hot out there. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise his holy name. It is. And the little old blue-haired ladies in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, they's a missing the Prayer Meeting Wednesday faithful down there for Prayer Meeting Wednesday Fellowship Hall dinner, something fierce. But still, they're cooking, and they got me out of running around taking food in little compostable, preservable to-go boxes to all and sundry as we are able. Amen and amen. Yes, indeed. Even as I showed them how to do the crab-stuffed jalapenos, they said, "We'll be doing those on Wednesday, Brother Bob." And I said, "Amen, sisters. Let there be crab-stuffed jalapenos." And there were. And there were also long yellow cubanelles that are split and hollowed out and stuffed with queso fresco and chopped up brisket. Amen, amen. Topped, of course, with panko breadcrumbs, both. And so but then they surprised me, the little old blue-haired ladies did. They know how fond I am of banana pudding done the way that, well, only my grandmother did it. And that is with Lorna Doones and not vanilla wafers. Amen. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And so they whooped up a batch of that just the way I like it, with the flan instead of the vanilla pudding. And they didn't use Lorna Doones. They used them little Pepperidge Farm shortbread cookies, because the Lorna Doones is full of palm oil. And I can't hardly stand the thought, brethren and sistren, of taking some poor orangutan home away just so I can have the right cookie on the bottom of my banana pudding. No. And so I got some of that, and I had me some more jalapenos. Yes, indeed. We're still working off the last of our brisket with the Dreamland sauce, by the way. That's one of the better things that I've found using smile.amazon.com to help out Coal River Mountain Watch. I was just curious one day, and I just typed in Dreamland sauce, and son of a gun, there it was. And you can get it from Amazon, and a little tiny portion of my of the proceeds of the sale, well, it went to Coal River Mountain Watch. And smile.amazon.com is a way to help out, and you know, you never even feel it because you're paying the price, you're paying one way or the other. It's just that when you go to smile.amazon.com and you nominate Coal River Mountain Watch as the beneficiary of your philanthropic urges, well, it helps a little bit at a time. I mean, if somebody was to go on Amazon and maybe, say, buy a 747, it'd probably help out a whole lot. But it's a fairly minuscule amount, but it does add up over time. So I always use smile.amazon.com. And I hope y'all will as well. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. No. So thanks go out to Sue for Earth, and to Nancy, and to Marcia, and Brandon. Thanks also going out to Dwayne, and hey, thank you to Flavio. That's big, too. That means that our $450 fundraising goal, since Flavio jumped in, went down to $410, which is a kind of shotgun. But we won't talk about that. That's another one of those things, brethren and sistren, that got me thinking about this idea. You reckon nitwit Nero's so eager for kids to go back into school so we can start having school shootings again? He's a monster, and he's a psychopath, and he enjoys seeing other people get hurt. And we haven't had a school shooting in a very long time because we had to close schools down. Maybe that's part of it. I mean, at this point in time, he's a character. He's a Batman villain, okay? As to which one specifically. You remember the version of the Penguin as played by Danny DeVito that was really kind of sleazy and scummy? What was his real Cobblepot? Yeah, I think that's a frighteningly accurate portrayal of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. But I just sort of wonder. Can't help it. But thanks to our eighth day of the month subscribers, that's a tremendous help. And with a $410 fundraising goal on the table to catch up with, I can happily announce that Chris in Germany has a hankering for, Chris in Germany just loves some Cole Porter. And so consequently, this evening, As we broadcast live from the virtual Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren, glory, instead of the offertory prayer as usual, as suggested by Chris in Germany, a little Cole Porter for a hot, hot summer's day.
It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. But I ain't up to my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot. Too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to coo with my baby tonight and pitch the woo with my baby tonight.
I'd like to coo. As performed, of course, by the inimitable and immortal Ella Fitzgerald. Cole Porter, it's too darn hot. So there's a challenge on the table. We got a $410 deficit. If we can find $150 among the faithful out there, that will then mean that our fundraising deficit will go from $410 down to $110, and we will have taken care of Monday and Tuesday and just have $110 worth of today to go. So Chris will happily match the first $150 that rolls in during this program this evening and turn your $10 into 20, turn your 20 into 40, your 30 into 60, your 50 into 100, up to and including $150 grand total. So thank you, Chris, very kindly for that, and hopefully people will respond to your largesse and your plea that it is, in fact, too darn hot. This time of year, I always like to just keep things in perspective. It is hotter than the testicles of Hades, but that's only because we're going to be freezing on the 180 degree flip side of this time of year. So I'm rather enjoying it. It's just kind of sticky. Yes, Steve, you are listening to the horn. It's too darn hot because the It's Too Darn Hot challenge is on the table. It's too darn hot in the hills of Appalachia, too darn hot in the man cave in Northern California, and even too darn hot in Germany. It's too darn hot. Note coming in from Scott in San Diego, the little old blue-haired ladies. It's weird how my free associating mind works. For some reason, your mention of the little old blue-haired ladies made me think back to a 1980s visit to the D.C. area. I needed a haircut, so my mom sent me down to the little strip mall salon she always went to. After they shampooed my hair and sat me down, I noticed two chairs down from me, Jesse Helms' wife getting her hair done. Her do did. We didn't speak, but I did wonder what it was like being hitched to old Jesse. It was a real moment. I can well imagine. Of course, the fact that you would recognize a woman two chairs down as being the spouse of Jesse Helms probably means that you were a little too familiar with the lives of various and sundry bigoted, racist, right-wing POS politicians, too. So you might still have some splaining to do, Scott. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. I don't think I disappeared. Let me check in with the... No, Brother Deacon Asa telling me we're all good. What happened to the sound? You just disappeared. Well, nothing happened to the sound that I'm aware of. Nobody complaining about sound disappearing over in the chat room, so we're good there. And thank you for a note from Kai. Kai says, my chaotic life doesn't seem to allow me to listen live, and my lame interweb only gives me a few hours per month without buffering 10 minutes for every 1 minute of listening. I'm hoping your podcast will help that. They should. Bandwidth-wise, the file at whiterosesociety.org is smaller by about half than the file at Podbean. So I would suggest going to whiterosesociety.org/Kincaid. Just go to whiterosesociety.org and scroll down to Kincaid. Anyway, I'm wondering about our soldiers, says Kai. Are they now being told it's their job to learn to kill the president's enemies? Is the Constitution their new toilet paper? Have they no brain cells? Yes, times three, it appears. Well, I've been worried about our military for a long time because... as people like our dear friend Jude's associate, Mikey Weinstein, over at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation has documented time and time again, the military has been targeted by the right-wing religion industry, which, of course, the right-wing religion industry being a focus of this program every Wednesday, so this is an appropriate topic. And it goes back a long way. some services are more corrupted by the religion industry than others. The Air Force comes to mind. Mikey Weinstein of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation has spent a lot of time litigating against that institution because they seem to have a real disdain for the idea of a secular society and a secular military. Right. So, in addition to that, you've got the Three Percenters and the Oath Keepers. You've got neo-Nazis and Klansmen. And somehow or another, just like any given state penitentiary system, they have a presence in the United States military. And Kai says, and this is important to note, I'm way below the poverty level, but we'll try to make room to support you. I changed my charity to Cold River Mountain Watch. Thank you for that. And if you're in hard shape, do not send money to this program. You take care of you. You feed you. You house you. You take care of those you love and who love you. And take care of that first. Brendan with a question. Sorry to be a broken record, but is last Friday's podcast accessible? Should be. It should be. I replaced it over at Podbean, so there's a replacement version of, I think it's Friday's podcast. God, Friday, that seems like it's a week ago. Kind of because it is. But should be. Silent R. Lamar. Okay, Bob, stop with the heat comments. Once again, the heat in my office has turned my two dogs into two hot dogs, and yes, there's no condiments, LOL. Well, I certainly hope it hasn't gotten to that whole Lord of the Flies stage there in your office, Lamar, where you're looking longingly at the... No. Did I? I don't know. Randy in PA says, did you say hi, I'm Bob? Well, if I didn't, hi, I'm Bob. So, hopefully, that's out of the way now. Thanks for the reminder, Randy. And thanks very kindly to Rick, who isn't Billable Rick, different Rick, member of the Fraternity of Ricks, for getting us started on Chris's It's Too Darn Hot challenge. Thank you very kindly, Rick, and thank you very kindly indeed to Timothy. Thank you, Timothy. And thank you, Brendan. So that is that means we got $105 to go on the It's Too Darn Hot challenge, courtesy of Chris in Germany. $105 to go. Flavio says, I heard the Air Force is a hotbed for dominionists. Is that right? Yikes. Yes, it's right. It is the Air Force is evangelicaled right up into the wild blue yonder. The Air Force is the worst of it. But that's not to say that all of our service have not been infiltrated and corrupted by the religion industry. But it is prayer meeting Wednesday. And we do have to take care of the stuff that the prayer meeting Wednesday is concerned with. And so to that end, we've got a stack full of religious bigotry, insanity, and to I my big stack of stories had one in it that seems to have gone the way of all flesh. I really wanted that audio because it was just too good. Of Jim Baker declaring that that if Donald Trump's not reelected, drag queens will be teaching school children how to have anal sex. Because, of course, the right-wing religion industry has a long-standing obsession. With that aspect of human sexuality. And of course, Jim Baker did federal prison time, so who better to tell other Christians about it? But instead, we will check out a church in California. That in particular being Menlo Church. It's a mega church, by the way. It's one of those places that has probably a better stage and sound set up than the Stones do when they go on tour. And it has to do with the son of Reverend John Ortberg. You know, if you go down to the county clinic and get about 1 million units of penicillin, it'll clear your Ortberg right up. It was summer of 2018 when the younger son of Reverend John Ortberg of the Menlo Church went to his daddy, the Reverend John Ortberg, and said, "Daddy, I got a thing for children." That he had sinful and impure thoughts about making sexy time with young'uns. We're 23 minutes into the program, and the live version is already taking dead aim at dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. And when Daddy heard that his younger son had sexy time thoughts about children, he said, "Well, you don't have to worry about that, son. You've never acted on your attraction, and so why don't you continue volunteering, coaching our church's ultimate frisbee team?" And then he said, "Now, come on, son, let's pray together." And maybe sent the young'un for some counseling. The one thing he didn't do was notify the elder board, which is kind of like deacons, I guess, of the church. Eventually, though, Brother Ortberg's other son, it's a little complicated here, a fellow by the name of Daniel Lavery, sent an email to the elder board, split with his parents, and that was November 2019. That's how long this thing's been in process. But in June of this year, the young Lavery said that despite what he had sent to the elder board, that they had not conducted a robust, thorough inquiry. Yeah. The church, of course, is in the San Francisco area. And it all kind of goes back to things going sideways when Daniel Lavery, came out as trans. And they tried to have a meeting where they would reconcile each other's conflicts. And Lavery said, "It was then I learned the reason my brother had been avoiding me was not only because of my transition, but it was because everyone else in the family knew that he was a pedophile and I didn't." His brother even referred to himself as a virtuous pedophile because he supposedly didn't act on his attraction to having sex with children. And that was what prompted the action. And of course, while that has a sort of, since there is a transition involved, it's a decidedly 21st century kind of an account. Well, the fact of the matter is, it's all over the place. Because there's hardly a week goes by that some youth minister from some gospel sharp concern doesn't get busted for trying to groom or having sex with children. Yeah, right. The love that passeth all understanding, I guess. Or something like it. Yeesh. But that's kind of that's the direction the program's taking, this being Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and me being Archpope, Uber, Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mullah, and Great Guy Guru, Bob Kincaid, because we have to cover all the bases. I saw a meme because stupidity is proliferating faster than COVID-19 is, showing a Muslim woman in a hijab and someone wearing a mask and declaring that the New World Order is trying to turn us all into them. Oh, for fuck's sake, really? But there's somewhat happy news, I suppose you could call it. At least from here in almost level west by Cold Trump Genistan. The case being that I had to be out today. Had to go down into the settlements for provisions. And we've got a new mask requirement in place here in West Virginia. And I can say with no reservations that the vast majority of people in two grocery stores, that would be Kroger and Wally World, I hate the fact that that Kroger just won't stock some things and I still wind up having to go to Wally World. Because it is, it's like an episode of that TV show Lost inside Wally World. I'm convinced that eventually people just start walking around and they're going, "Brains!" Ugh. But the vast majority of people were wearing masks. There were enough people wearing masks that it was actually possible to avoid the ones who weren't. And I'd say of the people I saw in the store, it was probably around 95% mask wearing, which was reassuring until you got to one of the mask holes, and then you just had to run like the devil was on your heels to get away from them. But that's a good sign. Meanwhile, on the other hand, found out today that the Sleep Inn, a member of the Choice Hotels property chain, the Sleep Inn in Mink Shoals, West Virginia, fired its overnight security guy because he wanted to follow the mask requirement and encourage guests to wear masks, to which the management said, "No, we're not going to bother about we're not going to bother our guests about no masks." So, once it gets out that there are mask holes there that run that Sleep Inn, it'll become super popular with the kind of folks who walk around receiving messages through the fillings in their teeth and whatnot. And one can only hope that the Kanawha Charleston Health Department will go and have a little chat with them. And of course, what was it? I'm trying to remember what state it was where more of those constitutional sheriffs said that they will not enforce any masking orders. Because it's in the Constitution, we got a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that means not having to wear masks. That voice may be, you tell me, Steve, in New York, that voice may be getting perilously close to Gilbert Gnarly. You will. What a... What a day. What a day. Hey, let's check in... Let's check in with Kurt Landry. He's another one of those wingnut paranoia evangelical freaks, and he's figured out why it is that the statues keep coming down. Hint, doesn't have anything to do with treason committed by the people who are depicted in the statues, or genocide in the case of, say, Christopher Columbus, or that Juan Oñate in New Mexico. No genocide, no treason, no taking up arms against the United States. No. It's something entirely different, and yet entirely unsurprising. Right. Oh, my God. How do these people...
God is judging right now. He is judging America, and he is judging the first route that he is taking the axe to right now is Freemasonry. Okay. Across the board, it's Freemasonry.
Yep. Masonic Lodge. That's who God's going after. That's why... Kind of painting with a bit of a broad brush, but nonetheless, the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky has used a virus that has killed 130,000 plus Americans. That's more than two times Vietnam. 130,000 Americans, the vast majority of whom were not Freemasons. And, of course, he doesn't understand Freemasonry in the first place. It's a social organization, and it winds up being kind of a business network when you get right down to it. But yeah, the knows all, sees all, hears all, feels all, tells nothing. All loving creator of the universe is slaughtering people all around the world to get it. People who belong to a Masonic lodge. It kind of means that. This Landry fella's God is, I don't know. It's like trying to kill an ant with an atomic bomb. Either this Landry guy or his God, or insofar as his God is a function of his imagination, just ain't real bright. I have a feeling it's that last part.
Go ahead, do the research on most of these statues that are being cut down and destroyed. These are Freemasons. Okay, so there's a Freemasonry thing that's going.
Okay, so we know George Washington was a Mason. But Robert E. Lee? Stonewall Jackson? I guess it's possible, but...
none, whether anyone knows it or not. And listen, I'm an ex-32nd degree Freemason that's been delivered, and I lead Freemason deliverance, and it's Freemasonry. That is the root of it, but the...
The rut?
But the second root of it is the globalist agenda, and they're all Freemasons.
Really? All the globalists are Freemasons. How about that? It's not even remotely true. Among other things, the Freemasons haven't gone co-ed yet. And so that kind of lets out, say, the globalist prime minister of New Zealand and the globalist chancellor of Germany. But you get the idea.
So you have a globalist one world agenda, and that's being judged. Look at all of it being exposed. Look at all the globalist stuff that is just, it's coming out. If you really look at like these things are crashing down, and I don't want to go into it and get you off on trails like that, but the
I think that horse has left the barn there, Kurt. Trails. Chemtrails, woo!
Globalists are totally being judged by God, and they're being exposed. The second thing that you're seeing, and it pretty much started at the last Super Bowl, and it's the Illuminati. The Illuminati.
Oh, well, of course it's the Illuminati. Yeah. Only makes sense. I mean, if there's Freemasons, there's got to be some Illuminati.
Stuff is like, you know, listen, this is a secret organization and they don't like to be high profile, but isn't it amazing? And they're also connected to Freemasonry. See, so that's the first root.
Wait, we're back to the ruts again? Somebody get this guy in the neck with a Thorazine dart, huh? So, judgment of it makes my head hurt. Really.
And isn't it interesting now that all this Illuminati stuff and these different people who are involved in the Illuminati all of a sudden are like, hey, their skirts are getting lifted.
The guy's a Christian. Eventually he's going to get around to some skirt lifting. He can't help it. It's part of his DNA. But, you know, help us, Q! Damn. Thank God for our First Amendment freedom of speech and religion. We'd just be... Yeah. It's too much. Illuminati. Chemtrails. Flavio with a question, and it's a fun question. The Flintstones were a spoof on Freemasons, right? Well, there was a spoof on lodge joining generally. It wasn't so much the Freemasons, the Masonic Lodge. That was the Water Buffaloes, Flavio. And yes, Fred and Barney belonged to the Water Buffaloes. Ack-ack-a-dack, Flintstone. Ack-ack-a-dack, Poobah. You know, that was their secret password. My stepmom, Flavio continues, in Guadalajara, Jalisco, said that Andres Manuel López Obrador was a Mason, so he worships the devil, oh brother. Then you have Dan Brown, who made bank with the Da Vinci Code. Sheesh. I had a good friend, Dan Amador, who was a Mason. Loveliest person I ever met. I grew up with him, too. Fine folks. Absolutely fine, and in this case, Christian people. Exactly. Randy pointing out the Flintstones was a spoof on the Honeymooners. But, you know, like the Simpsons, there were cultural references. I remember when the Way Outs came to town. And the hillbillies who had moved in next to the Flintstones and were causing them no end of misery, because that's what happens when hillbillies move in next to you. They got freaked out and ran away because of bug music. Bug music, which, of course, was a take on the Beatles. So that's, you know, that's what we got. That's your backtrack to Flintstones history. Lee Family Masons. Scott in San Diego. Henry Lee III, Governor of Virginia, United States Congressman from Virginia, father of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee, Hiram Lodge, number 59, Westmoreland County, Virginia. Richard Henry Lee, President of the Continental Congress, United States Senator from Virginia, Hiram Lodge, number 59, Westmoreland County, Virginia. But not old Bobby. No, apparently not. Because, well, Bobby didn't stay home. Bobby wound up all over the country. As a matter of the commission he at one point had in the United States military. Meanwhile, Jeremy noting, Bob, stop telling us you're Bob. We're mindless sycophants, drones after all. And if I wasn't Bob, yep, yeah, right. Sure. Note coming in from Barbara, since it's prayer meeting Wednesday. As touching upon the SCOTUS ruling on women's reproductive rights, wasn't enslavement and Jim Crow based on religious and moral beliefs? It absolutely was. And doesn't the current administration and his minions believe that that was when America was at its greatest? They do. Yeah, the Christian church all over the South, sermons upon... Hundreds, if not thousands, tens of thousands of sermons were preached all over the South, citing the Bible. as a justification for slavery, because there's slavery all over the Bible, and not in a condemnatory way. Slavery is just a fact of everyday life in the Holy Book. So, yeah, Barbara, you're absolutely right. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't note that, yeah, this stupid decision that was announced today, it can't be seen as anything but religiously tinged. Because it is. Because the Supreme Court of the United States is in the grips, and this isn't me blathering about the Illuminati or Freemasons or anything. This Supreme Court is under the thrall of a bunch of hyper right-wing Roman Catholics who bring their hyper right-wing Roman Catholic misogyny to the court with them. Today, being the antithetical answer to the ruling in the case that struck down Louisiana's backdoor abortion ban. What they give with one hand, the Supremes take away with the other. And this was, this particular case in which the thugs in the Trump maladministration was an attempt to expand on Hobby Lobby in its own way. You remember Hobby Lobby, right? Hobby Lobby held that that corporations can have deeply held religious beliefs, and therefore they could refuse to pay for slut medicine. You'll recall that when that case came out, Presidential Medal of Freedom recipient Rush Limbaugh and street drug junkie attacked a woman named Sandra Fluck, who had said that she opposed the ruling, and he called her a slut. Yeah. Hence, slut medicine. Otherwise known as birth control, which is in itself it's the wrong term. It's pregnancy prevention. Doesn't stop any births. It prevents pregnancies. But good luck explaining that. Today's case centered on, of course, a group of hyper-right-wing Roman Catholic nuns. And they've been throwing a fit ever since the Affordable Care Act was signed into law over the payment for contraceptive care in their health care policies. The Little Sisters of the Poor. How poor do you reckon they are that they can afford legal representation drawn out over the course of nearly a decade all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States? Today's opinion was written by that moral paragon, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, one of two justices of the Supreme Court credibly accused of sexual assault. He wrote the opinion today that was announced today. And said that, no. The Little Sisters of the Poor don't have to provide contraceptive care in their insurance that they provide their employees. Of course, there was one of those, it's all tax-free hallelujah types. Senior counsel for the Judicial Crisis Network, Vice President Frank Scaturo. Wait, doesn't scat mean shit? Frank Scaturo took to Twitter and said, "The court's decision today upholding that exemption is a victory for freedom of religion and conscience, for the Little Sisters, and for everyone. Let us be thankful that the Little Sisters' ordeal in court has finally ended." Bullshit. It's another wind sprint down the road to theocracy is what this is. It is the establishment of a religion by the Supreme Court of the United States as a bizarre right-wing religion industry majority. But this wasn't a straight-up, let's everybody, you know, form a majority. And no, there were two concurring opinions. Hey, looky there. Justice Elena Kagan concurred with Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas. So, once again, proving that there is no such thing as a liberal wing of the Supreme Court of the United States. A concurring opinion. Sammy Bad Breath Alito, you know, the guy who authored an opinion when he was on the circuit court that said it was okay to shoot fleeing black kids in the back of the head at 30 feet away, even though they were fleeing and did not have a weapon and did not pose a risk, said it was okay for the cops to shoot that kid in the head and kill him. Wrote another opinion saying it was okay to strip search little children. Yeah, that's Sammy Alito. He was all pissed off in his concurrence because he didn't think Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas went far enough. No, really. To make sure that nobody could ever drag the Little Sisters of the Poor back into court for the misogynistic assholes that they are. Jesus. And so the cases went back to the lower courts. And there will probably be more litigation in at least Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And Alito said, In my judgment, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act compels an exemption for the Little Sisters and any other employer with a similar objection to what has been called the accommodation to the contraceptive mandate. Oh, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. A little piece of seemingly innocuous legislation that was passed into law to protect small, in many instances, indigenous sects from being prosecuted for using particular items, psychoactive sometimes, in their religious observances. And the great big behemoth religion industry outfits got hold of it and immediately perverted it from its original task, to instead turn it into a means by which people employed by religious organizations could be tormented over their own women could be tormented over their choices in contraception. So that in the fascist view of Sammy Alito, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act would trump the Administrative Procedures Act, no pun intended, so that nobody could ever sue hardcore right-wing religious outfits like the Little Sisters of the Poor ever again. And of course, they're not the Little Sisters of the Poor, they're the Little Sisters of the We Got a Lot of Money. And we operate under 501c3 codes, and we're not supposed to be political at all, but here we are playing politics in the Supreme Court of the United States. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And all of this comes with the backdrop of news that another one of those hardcore Roman Catholics, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, has had an oopsie-daisy Chief Justice fall-down-go-boom problem for a while. And that, in fact, he was hospitalized overnight last month when, while walking at a country club in Maryland, which is another issue entirely. I mean, our betters have to have somewhere to get away from us. What better place than a country club, which have been hotbeds over the decades and centuries. Not sure how old the oldest one is. It's probably the late 1800s. But country clubs have been hotbeds of racism and exclusion. In point of fact, I think it was David Souter, no longer on the court, from what, New Hampshire? Who had been engaged in a real property purchase at one point in time, in which he accepted a property transfer that included a clause that said he would never sell his property to African-Americans. That was what, 20, 30 years ago? Tops? Well, old Balls and Strikes was out for a walk at the Maryland Country Club, and he just spontaneously lost consciousness, fell down and hit the hell out of his head. So far, I went and checked my religion industry sources, and I couldn't find anybody pointing out that there's a passage in Revelation that says that the Antichrist shall recover from a wound in his head. But you know, they wouldn't do that because they like what he's up to. Well, not so much. They're kind of angry with him right now over that whole Civil Rights Act decision and the Louisiana abortion decision. But he's had fainting spells over the years. This latest one that took place last month, they were careful to declare was the process, was the product of dehydration. Yeah, he's 65 years old and out for a walk, and he was all dehydrated, and boom. You know what'll dehydrate you? Booze will dehydrate you. Alcohol sucks the water out of you. But it's hard to imagine that, knowing that he's had a few of these episodes of falling down and passing out, that he didn't, why wasn't he taking his Powerade or his Gatorade or even a bottle of water with him? Just bloop, and went down. Which gives us something else to worry about. Because it's 2020 and every day has a new worry. It's like a medieval fucking saints calendar. Every day there's a new worry, just like every day on the holy calendar has a new saint to venerate. As to the Little Sisters of the Poor, James in Illinois points out, Little Sisters, Big Sisters out getting some. Little Sisters can't stand it. Get a life. Leave Big Sister alone. Donnie wants to know if it's time for a new Chief Justice. And that's the thing we have to worry about. As much as I don't like old Balls and Strikes, as odious as I find him to be, I need him. We need him to hang on until we can hopefully get Joe Biden into office. Ooh, think of that. Chief Justice. Wait for it. Kamala Harris. Yeah. But now I'm worried about old Balls and Strikes. I'm worried about him sitting there taking a in a virtual hearing and just going boom, and you know, right there on the desk. And then Nitwit Nero gets himself another appointment. This, as rumors have been swirling hither and thither, about how they're thinking Alito may quit or Slappy may quit, just to give him another appointment to the court. It wouldn't change the mathematics if it was Alito quitting or Slappy Thomas quitting. But he could put somebody even worse than them. I know. How could it possibly be worse? Uh-uh. It could be worse. Here's a nightmare scenario for you. Chief Justice Naomi Rao. She's the maggot that just went on to the Court of Appeals not long back. And she's dumber in the head than the hog is in the ass. Oh, wait, did I get a cowbell? Jeremy says, for fuck's sake, Bob, you just earned a cowbell. Medieval Saints Advent calendar. Well, thank you, Jeremy. Much obliged. And by the way, thanks to Jeremy, we're down to $100 on Chris's It's Too Darn Hot challenge. We're into the second hour of the program. It would be great if we could wipe that $100 out pretty quick and get off the schneid, or some of the schneid. Because if we can knock out Chris's It's Too Darn Hot challenge, we'll only have $110 to go to come up even with the middle of the week. And the deacons will feel ever so good about that, especially because they didn't have to walk around and and keep whacking people on the head with those heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates. Or threatening to when we open the church again, the cathedral. But tomorrow's the big day. Oh, yeah, tomorrow's the big day. Tomorrow's, they've had to work over these poor wage slaves in the Supreme Court. They've had to work over because of the coronavirus pandemic. And so they didn't get to sneak out of town at the very beginning of July like they were hoping they could. And I have a feeling tomorrow will be the getaway day. Not that they're getting away, they're already away. They're doing all their meetings virtually. The court's closed. It's closed to visitors, it's closed to everybody. But tomorrow, we get the ruling on whether Corona Caligula has to release his financial records to prosecutors in Congress. Now, all along, he said,
I don't have to release shit. Because I'm me. You got no right.
And the and committees in the House looking into his finances and his dirty dealings, having to do not just with improper foreign influence, but hey, maybe that whole individual number one thing. Cyrus Vance, the prosecuting attorney in New York City. He wants to know whether the Trump, whether he broke campaign finance laws with the hush money that got paid off to Stormy Daniels and the other Playboy porn star whose name I can never remember. Karen? No? Well. And so in an announcement today, those nine wise souls declared that they would issue their opinions tomorrow, Thursday, the 9th day of July at 10 a.m. You might want to fortify yourself for that. This should have been a slam dunk. This should have been easy. There shouldn't have been any there, but because of the nature of the appellate process, it has to go all the way up, and the entire legal system, Karen McDougal, thank you, Lee in New York, Karen McDougal, the other porn star. She, like Stormy Daniels, was told by Nitwit Nero,
"You were great. You remind me of Ivanka."
Hell. We're going to find out tomorrow whether or not we still have a judicial system. It's the bottom line. Because if they rule for Donald Trump, and make no mistake, Brat Kavanaugh, who likes beer and mortgages that get mysteriously paid off and baseball ticket debts that just disappear and little passed out girls at high school parties. Brat Kavanaugh, who has his job only because of the aforementioned thug in the White House, he will rule or he will vote that the President of the United States should and must be completely, utterly, totally, and entirely above the law. That he must be our ruler. and not be ruled by the rule of law. I expect Ann's boy Neil to do the same, and Clarence pubes on the Coke can slappy, and Sammy shoot the black kid in the back of the head at 30 feet, even though he's running away, poses no threat. Alito, that's four solid votes for presidential monarchy, leaving old balls and strikes to hang it all in the balance and be the swing vote. But we will know as of shortly past 10 a.m. tomorrow, and I'll be up and watching my telescreen to see what happens. We'll know if we still have a country. That's how grave this is. Brett Kavanaugh, you'll recall, was Bob Woodward's leaker inside the Kenneth Starr investigation. And back then, Brett Kavanaugh was of the deeply held legal jurisprudential opinion that a president had to be amenable to just about anything that some wild-eyed Republican wanted to charge him with, as long as that president was a Democrat and as long as that president was Bill Clinton and as long as it was part of the great cleanness hunt of the last years of the 20th century. By the time he went to work for George W. Bush, however, he had softened in his opinions. And he felt like maybe it was improper to burden someone as important as the President of the United States with litigation while he was in office. His heart had changed. He'd had a road to Damascus moment when he went to work for a president who was engaged in an illegal war and should have been impeached if the country had not already descended into absolute constitutional dysfunction. So, I'm not a betting man, and I don't have betting money, but if we were betting Monopoly money, I'd bet the whole bank that we no longer have a jurisprudential system after tomorrow. It really is a 1L kind of question as to whether the president should be subject to the laws or above them. But you can expect judicial, jurisprudential legerdemain and gymnastics saying that we can't torment poor Donald Trump over his taxes and financial records because unitary executive or some other bilious horse shit like that. And remember that in the case of Deutsche Bank and Bank of America, those were subpoenas that were issued to those institutions, and the Trump family and the Trump organization intervened. The relationship is between the House committees and the prosecutor seeking the information from the banks, and the Trump family intervened in a process in which they were not even a party. You could throw it out on those grounds alone. But we will wait on tenterhooks for 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Thursday, the 9th day of July. The subpoenas were also issued to Mazars, the accounting firm for the Trumps, forever. And no, it wasn't Bank of America, it was Capital One. Deutsche Bank and Capital One. Why else might the Supremes want to rule in Trump's favor on this? Well, Deutsche Bank is one of the parties. Who worked for Deutsche Bank getting loans for Donald Trump? That's right. The son of noted Supreme Court swing vote Anthony Kennedy. So it might very well be that now that he's in his retirement, old Balls and Strikes might just want to make sure that nothing icky got out there about the behavior of the son of one of his colleagues. Nah, that could never happen, could it? Yeah, that could happen very easily. And thanks to Ralphs, that got us down to $90. Roberto got us down to $65. Charlene in Connecticut got us down to $40. Keith got us down to $30. Scott in San Diego got us down to $20. So we're $20 to go on the It's Too Darn Hot challenge. And that'll leave us with only $110 to go to get even with the week. Thank you, one and all. Thank you to Jeremy and Lee for Karen McDougal. I don't know why I can never recall that. Tomorrow, says Steve in New York, my hunch is this. For New York State, he will have to comply with the subpoena because of a lack of standing. For the Congress, though the statute has an unqualified shall in it, the Congress will say, or the court will say, that the Congress has to have, by clear and convincing evidence, a legitimate legislative reason. Which will be odd if they do it that way, because the Congress had a legitimate legislative reason. That is their oversight duty in regard to campaign finance. Porn star or not, Ron in Raleigh says, while Stormy Daniels is indeed a porn star, Ms. McDougal is a nude model and adult entertainment personality. To be a porn star, one must get naked and do the horizontal boogie on camera. Ms. McDougal has not done so, to the best of my knowledge. Gee, I thought taking one's clothes off for the sexual gratification of total strangers in exchange for money. Oh, wait, that would make Melania a porn star. Never mind. Well, my quip about Chief Justice Naomi Rao, certainly do a response. Flavio, Chief Justice Naomi Rao, shut your mouth. You think there's not something, you think she doesn't have somebody in her corner at the Federalist Society saying we're ready to go? You think those bastards aren't completely ready? In case anything happens to any justice? But you think there isn't a short list for Chief Justice? And do you think that the the Obama almost time for an election rule would stand. Chinless Mitch McConnell, that traitor to the Constitution, has long made clear that if he gets an opening, he's, by God, gonna fill it. And election be damned. Ooh, that's a nice play on words, Renee in D.C. Regarding justice appointments, all Brat had was a road to dumbass kiss appointment. Get it, Damascus? Dumbass kiss? Very good. Steve in New York elaborating says, I should have noted they will establish the standard. They will punt on whether this was a legit reason by clear and convincing evidence. Probably because there's no finding by the committee. Interesting. Entirely possible. Whew, prayer meeting, huh? Hey, let's go down to Louisiana, Stan. And State Representative Danny McCormick. He's brand new in the state legislature in Louisiana, Stan. And, he wants the Louisiana Stannies, who put him in office, to know that, he's not going to put up with any of this, this science-y bullshit where the Rona is concerned.
Oh, hey, guys. Louisiana State Representative Danny McCormick talking to you today about mask mandates.
Masks aren't bad. Mask mandates are. As many of you know,
as you may have guessed from the sound effects there, masks aren't bad. Mask mandates are. Because mandates that require people working in restaurants to wash their hands or not spit in your food or, well, let's take it easy on dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone, shall we? So he wads it up and he crunches it under a walking stick. Because mask mandate, bad!
The city of Shreveport has announced an emergency order making mask mandatory. The Constitution is being shredded before our very eyes.
I mean, no, it's not, but, you know, for the sake of the entertainment value, let's see where this takes us. That there, brethren and sistren, is a chainsaw. Because State Representative Danny McCormick, he's a manly man with a chainsaw. And yes, he's going after a mask. A little cloth mask that he's crucified between some wires hanging in midair. He's gonna have a chainsaw massacre. See, wait, I'm not even gonna wait for the nomination. Yeah, the Great Shreveport Chainsaw Massacre. Jack, are you there? Jack? Okay, Jack, are you there? Are you familiar with this clown?
This isn't about whether you want to wear a mask or you don't want to wear a mask.
Well, no, it's kind of like, do you have an IQ bigger than your shoe size or do you not have an IQ larger than your shoe size?
This is about your right to wear a mask, or not. This is about liberty.
Sit, liberty, sit.
Your body is your private property. If the government has...
Oh, no. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. This good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual, fundamentalist, Republican Christian just said that human bodies are property. Everything old is new again down Louisiana Stan way. Oh, yes, it is.
Has the power to force you to wear a mask? They can force you to stick a needle in your arm against your will. They can put a...
It's going to come as a terrible surprise to representing Danny McCormick. But, the state already has the power to stick a needle in your arm against your will. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he, state representing Danny McCormick, has already given the state of Louisiana the right to do that. I mean, I presume he has a state of Louisiana driver's license. Because driver's licenses are issued, and they are not rights, they are privileges. The privilege to operate a motor vehicle inside the state of Louisiana is conditioned upon something called implied consent. And that means, for instance, if state representing Danny McCormick decides that he needs to laissez his bon temps roulette and goes down to the Big Easy and goes through one of those drive-through places where you can get a 64-ounce margarita with extra shots and just go driving on down the road, and he gets busted, and he says, "No, hell no, I'm not going to blow in no blowometer for you, you fascist trooper, you, no, hell no, because liberty," woof, and liberty will bark, of course. Well, then the state of Louisiana, Stan, has the right to strap his ass to a chair, if they so choose, jam a needle in his arm, and suck out some blood to find out just how fucked up State Representative Danny McCormick really is. Or if, say, I don't know, some little girl down the street, or little boy, from State Representative Danny McCormick was to go missing, and they thought that maybe Danny McCormick... Yeah, they'd have a right to get a search warrant and take some DNA from him. A needle or a swab or whatever. Oh, no! And you know what? He won't be able to chainsaw that there Q-tip, neither. Because he'll be strapped to a chair. Because search warrant. Because Fourth Amendment. Oops. My goodness gracious, these are some stupid maggots. But then again, that's redundant, isn't it? You know, that's a great question, Barbara. That's a cowbell question. Barbara wants to know, how come they can breathe under a Klan hood but not in a mask? I know. You'd think they'd probably be pretty good at it at this point in time. You heard it, Ralphs. Your ears did not deceive you. And we're not even done. Ralph said, what on earth did Danny McCormick say? He's still got more to say. Okay, we've got gimmick infringement here, courtesy of Silent R. Lamar. You'll be hearing from Ron's lawyers. Bob. You ask, is his IQ the same as his shoe size? But what if Danny doesn't wear shoes? That would result in no IQ. Oh, my goodness. Well, no, he'd still have a shoe size. It just means he wouldn't be wearing shoes. And now we're deep into the Aristotelian logic portion of the program. And Steve in New York jumped on, your body is your private property, pretty quick, just like I did. Your body is your private property, you know, unless you're a woman. And especially if you're a woman who works for the Little Sisters of the Pure. Precisely, Steve. Oh, hey, there's your answer, Barbara. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, Barbara, the Klan mask has holes in them. But they're just eye holes. What, do they pull an eye hole down and get a snoot full through their nostrils and then put it up next to their... Ew. I mean, can't you get eye diseases that way? You know, like you transferred from boogers and stuff? Well, I couldn't... There we go. Dinner in the central time zone is fucked. Regarding the Constitution being shredded, I think Scott in San Diego is getting perilously close to furniture kicking. Here's the deal, bozo. Now, here's the deal, bozo. What we got here are two dynamics. In your world, it's about the Constitution being shredded. In the real world, it's about COVID-19 virus particles being shedded. Ooh. Scott in San Diego's got his A game this evening. In the real world, the virus wins. This can easily be limited by taking three basic non-intrusive steps. Wear a mask, avoid crowds and social distance if you can't. Three, wash your hands and use hand sanitizer often. And adding a fourth step, get your head out of your ass, you ignorant putz! That's high quality, Scott, even for you. And that's a compliment, the even part. Your body is your personal property. And if I had my way, some other people's bodies would be our personal property, too.
Is your private property. If the government has the power to force you to wear a mask, they can force you to stick a needle in your arm against your will.
Imagine, because somebody's on the other side of this camera. Imagine the process by which this video came into being. There was actually some sort of considered process in which everything he's saying was determined to be a good idea. Help me, Jesus. But it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. There's a good 45 seconds left in this video. This audio. And for those 45 seconds, I strongly suggest that you reach up or reach over or reach down wherever you keep it and get the hockey puck and then tear off a couple of profound strips of duct tape, even at the hazard of the hair on the nape of your neck. And get that thing taped in real good, because it's about to get real worse.
They can put a microchip in you. They can even make you take the mark. After all, it's for the greater good.
Now, when he says the greater good, you can probably hear the dick fingers that he puts around it. Greater good. You know, like eliminating COVID-19 is for the... greater good, like that's really greater or really good. Bill Gates can microchip you, and Tim Apple can microchip you, and they make you take the mark. What mark? Oh, the mark of the beast, which nobody really knows what it is, because Saint John the Divine sitting there on the island of Patmos and apparently tripping his nuts off said it was 666, which ignorant people just define as 666. What if he was tripping a different base numerical system? Ooh. What happens when you translate base 6 into base 10, or base 10 into base 6? Because 660 and 6 into base 6 would be... Oh! Jeremy, in Vermont, subject line Danny. Hey, Bob, I don't know this for a fact, but I just know it to be true. But I know Danny gets down out of a jacked-up 4x4 powered with diesel for extra pollution. I'm sure he does. And I'm sure he spends part of his time huffing the said diesel for that wonderful, wonderful, sweet flavor. Yeah, see, Steve has gotten to the point, having been a part of this community for a while, he can anticipate what these assholes were going to say. I was thinking Mark of the Beast right before he said it. Sure. Because he's going to go to it like a dog returns to its vomit. Oh, sorry, Central Time Zone. And thank you very kindly to Bo. That's very mighty kind of you, Bo. We have knocked down, we finished Chris's challenge, and now we're only $105 from being done with this evening's fundraising. And it might be a kind of a prayer meeting in absentia miracle. Thank you, Bo. Thank you very kindly.
You see? Government needed a villain.
Wait. He's so serious about it that he leaned forward in his squeaky chair to say the government needed a villain. And now he's peeking around the corner of somebody's house behind a tree that ain't big enough to hide him. Oh, I think we can expect great things down the road from representing Danny McCormick and his band of COVIDiots. Meanwhile, Shorty in L.A. Ooh, Mr. Cotter, pick me. Can the DNA sample be hair? You know, the DNA sample you get from tweezers and short hairs? It's for the greater good. Cowbell for the Mr. Cotter reference. Thank you, Shorty. The Mark of the Beast, asks Scott in San Diego. Does he mean that in order to buy and sell, I'll need Ronald Wilson Reagan tattooed onto my hand or forehead? Which raises another question. If you get it on your forehead, do you have to have it tattooed backwards, like the word ambulance is backwards on the front of an ambulance, so you can read it properly in your rearview mirror and it doesn't look like a necklababoo? So that would be Nagar Naslil Dlanor. Oh, this esoterica. Yeah, going back to the personal property issue, Silent R. Lamar says, okay, my body is my personal property, only if you're a white man, black men and women, their bodies were not theirs. White women's body are not theirs. May I ask whom he's talking to and what planet he's on? He's on Planet COVIDiot, Silent R. And who he's talking to are his fellow COVIDiots who actually propelled him into political office. We may have to send Jack in Shreveport on an anthropological mission just to get us some pictures of the average representing Danny McCormick voter. You'll know them because they'll be sitting there on the front stoop of their houses picking their toenails and then picking their teeth with their toenail clippings. Turns out he's got a propensity for peeking around the corners of buildings. Might need that DNA sample after all. Wonder if there's any unsolved sex crimes in Shreveport.
Government needed a villain. People who don't wear a mask will be soon painted as the enemy, just as they did the...
soon painted as the enemy.
...a villain. People who don't wear a mask will be soon painted as the enemy, just as they did the Jews in Nazi Germany.
Yep, wearing a mask, there it is, there's your hockey puck moment. God damn it, man. Wearing a mask to go to the Wally World, while also, of course, strapping heat. Wearing a mask to go to the Wally World is the functional equivalent of being loaded onto a cattle car and herded into a death camp. The very same thing. Identical. Yeah. Wonder how the I don't mean to be. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. And by the way, going all the way back to Kurt Landry, Asa says, I'm pretty sure globalist is 2020 dog whistle for Jews. Yep. Mm-hmm. And somehow or another, I have a hard time thinking that representing Danny McCormick is very well at all conversant with A, the history of the Holocaust, or B, Jewish people in general. But I can't imagine the pain that this must cause. I can try, I can sympathize, I can try to empathize. But this must be hellacious. It must be hellacious to be Jewish and have the greatest horror of the 20th century trotted out, a horror perpetrated on millions of Jews, on gypsies, on homosexuals, on people with disabilities, on political dissidents and undesirables, Untermenschen. It must be agonizingly painful the way they trot out the Holocaust to bolster their sick, fetid, paranoid persecution fantasies. Jesus. Oh, we've heard from Jack in Shreveport. I don't know about this clown, but Shreveport does have a black mayor. Don't know if that has anything to do with it. Well, did Shreveport's African-American mayor have anything to do with the mask requirement? If yes, well, follow the flow chart right down to the Clavern meeting. Research has been halted down at Shea Jack, by the way. Jack's not good for much right now, as his air conditioner is broken. This is not a good time to have a broken air conditioner in Shreveport. I don't know that there's any time to have that it's good to have a broken air conditioner in Shreveport. I mean, damn, Jack, it probably gets, like, sticky in January there, doesn't it? Never been to Shreveport. I'd like to have seen the Bossier City of days gone by, though, when it was Babylon on the Red River. We will collectively lay the healing hands of faith on your air conditioner, Jack, and we will sacrifice a rubber chicken to the goddess of irony at midnight, that it will be miraculously healed. But if you're Jewish, don't you just get sick, not sick, sick, sick. Now quit that. Don't you just get sick of having these right-wing weirdos climb up on 6 million dead backs for the sake of an ill-advised, malevolent, malicious, political point being made at the expense of you, your relatives, your heritage? Or maybe after a couple of thousand years of it, maybe you just go, must mean it's Wednesday. But there it is. There it is, because they can't resist.
We'll be soon painted as the enemy, just as they did the Jews in Nazi Germany. Now is the time to push back, before it's too late. This is a call to action. We can preserve America by taking a stand in our communities. Thank you, I love you, and God bless.
And yet somehow he fails to define what that stand would be. is the stand the a refusal to wear a mask? Or is he asking his constituents to go out and get the COVID to own the libtards and preserve liberty? There's a breathtaking degree of stupidity in this, if it weren't for the fact that it can be found and had just about any day in America anywhere. Because long before we had vectors of viral transmission of COVID-19, since the first moment they hotted up the mic for Rush Limbaugh, we've had vectors of ignorance and hatred that have blossomed out across this country and rotted, God alone knows, how many minds. And of course, it's not just State Representative Danny McCormick. Oh no, and it's not just in the Deep South. Not that neither. Scott in San Diego says, it's not the 666 I'm worried about. It's the 645, Donald John Trump, that scares the fluorescent piss out of me. Yeah, for good reason. Flavio reminding us of Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Becky Bradley, because of course Becky, who said that Governor Evers' stay-at-home order was like unto the Korematsu decision. Remember, says Flavio, she compared the health department, Andrea Palm's decision to the internment of the Japanese in World War II. Damn it, how do these people get a law degree, for fuck's sake? Well, they pass the classes. And once they pass the classes, and they've written a few articles in, say, the student newspaper, that, you know, what is it, the University of Wisconsin Daily Badger or whatever. Once they've written a few op-eds saying that America's going to the dogs because of those people, and written a few op-eds talking about how women's all uppity thinking they can control what happens inside their own reproductive organs, and we need to get back to the original intent of the framers and shit like that. Those are all flares sent up into a clear night sky that lets places like the Federalist Society know that they have a brand new wingnut welfare applicant. And so they're taken under their wing. They're sent to work in think tanks where they don't exactly work. They just sit around mumbling batshit crazy horse shit like you would expect. Batshit crazy horse shit. How about that? Like you would expect to hear from your drunk uncle over in the Barca lounger on Thanksgiving evening after he's all whacked out of his mind on cheap beer and tryptophan. And then they're made. And they will have a bright future in right-wing judicial circles, and they'll be put up for various and sundry jobs on the bench. Or they will be supported with horse-gagging wads of money when they run for some relatively low-level office like member of the Louisiana House, and they then climb the cursus disonorum toward ever high office, and the right wing has been very, very good at building its bench, and that's how they've built their bench. Us, nah, not so much, because it costs money, and well, the donors on our side of the aisle would rather pay $100,000 for a photograph with Barack and Michelle or Bill and Hillary than actually do the hard work of taking power. Ralph's asking, they're made like in a test tube, Bob? I'd say more like a More like an old bathroom garbage can from a whorehouse, Ralphs, but that's me. Sorry, Brother Bob, says Silent R. Lamar. I hate to trouble you with my problems, but I have, for the last 6 months, been trying to turn down the stupid, but I must confess I need your help locating the stupid switch, and I feel I may have got some stupid on me, and my health care plan doesn't cover stupid. Well, if anything is a pre-existing condition in this country, right-wing stupid, Silent R. Lamar, is. And it's been pre-existing since about the day after the 1964 presidential election. For a little light reading, Richard Hofstadter's The Paranoid Style in American Politics is always very, very handy. But anyway, Ohio. You might recall a clip from Ohio State Republican representing Nino Vitale. Nino Vitale. You might recall him from, a while back, when he went off on Facebook about masking, and back in May said that, I won't wear a mask because the face is the image and likeness of God. And if we cover up the likeness of God, we're covering up God, and we can't cover up God because God can't be covered up. Yeah. He described masks as a crime against humanity. And now, he's telling people in Ohio and around the country, I kid you not, with the understanding, and we all understand it, that part of the reason this thing has gotten as bad as it is because we never tested. We never took appropriate measures early on, and then we didn't test adequately. And so it raged out of control. Sane states like New York and Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey, fought something approaching the level of a war to get it under control. And then, well, then the maggot states weaponized the virus and have let it rage all across Florida, South Carolina, Alabama, Texas, Arizona. Yeah. And so here we are with representing Vitale, Nino Vitale. Are you tired of living in a dictatorship yet? And it was accompanied by a graphic. Masks required. Red alert. Level 3 counties. Butler County. Cuyahoga County. Franklin County. Hamilton County. Huron County. Montgomery County. Trumbull County. Are you tired of living in a dictatorship yet? This is what happens when people go crazy and get tested. Stop getting tested! All caps. And on his graphic with all the colors, a yellow bar at the bottom, red capital letters, exclamation points to either side. Never get tested!
This is what happens when people go crazy and get tested. Stop getting tested. It is giving the government an excuse to claim something is happening that is not happening at the magnitude they say it's happening. I wish I was kidding. Have you noticed that they never talk about deaths anymore? Just cases? And they never talk about recoveries. They just keep adding to numbers they've been feeding us from over 3 months ago. Correction. This masking requirement goes into effect July 8th, tomorrow evening. But what is totally illogical is if this is such an urgent matter, why wait almost 30 hours? They make no sense. Stop listening to these frauds. And the number of morons responding to him. This is wrong to make us wear a mask, and if they choose, shut down our county again. In other words, house arrest. No, it's not house arrest. You haven't been charged with anything, you stupid woman. That was Tina. And then there's Brittany. And Brittany says, I'm living my life mask-free. I'm not waiting for Ohio government to make things right. I take responsibility for my own health. Yeah, but Brittany, you goddamn twit. What about other people's health that you endanger? And see, Nino's post is still up at Facebook, even though it encourages self-harm and harming others. But if it's right wing horse shit, it'll stay up because Zuckerberg. And as noted, this isn't a one off. It was only last week when he said, "The only people I know in history that wear masks are those trying to get away with a crime, and this entire mask deal is simply that—a crime against freedom and a crime against humanity." Oh, you. What do you want to bet this guy doesn't allow anybody near him? And what's more, he says, why don't they ever talk about the deaths? What's he paying attention to that nobody's talking about deaths? Most folks I know of reasonable intelligence are horrified at the fact that we've crossed the 130,000 mark, the 2.5 times Vietnam mark. We crossed 3 million infections in the United States alone today. Really? And in the next few days, we will cross in terms of cases that are confirmed, not the people who haven't been tested and have it, because that number is probably in the tens of millions, not three. But of those confirmed cases, in the next few days, we will probably cross the 1% of the population line. And that has grim and horrifying consequences. And if you look at the hockey puck graph of confirmed cases worldwide, it's all stick. And very little blade. Hockey stick, not hockey puck. Hockey stick. Did I say hockey puck? I didn't mean to say hockey puck. but the hockey stick graph. It's just going up. It just keeps going up. We had a chance to make it all blade and no stick, but we blew it. People like Donald Trump blew it. People like Jair Bolsonaro blew it. People like Erdogan in Turkey blew it. People like Modi in India blew it. We are officially at 3,035,537 confirmed cases and 132,042 deaths. It is not impossible that by the end of August, beginning of September, we will be at 3x Vietnam. Or, you know, 400... wait, there's going to be ciphering involved here. I'm going to cheat and go straight to the calculator. So, let's see. Or 27,500 times Benghazi. But her emails! It's impossible to come to the conclusion, to reach any other conclusion, but that we are in the depths of an onslaught of monumental stupidity. Here in almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginistan, we had a tiny little victory today. Agnes informed me that where before they'd been saying, we got to get our children back in school come August the 10th. Well, now it's been moved up into September. I'm still trying to figure out how it is that a child who goes to the public goes into open public schools and comes home to find mama and or daddy dead of the Rona. I'm trying to figure out how that that advances freedom or their educational careers. If you can sort that out, well, I don't know. Maybe they'll send them to Trump re-education camps, or maybe put them to work in the mines. Who knows? And still no possibility of further financial relief on the horizon because Republicans. With the subject line, only one Jew out of many. Would that be E Pluribus Junum? I don't know. Lee writes, responding as only one Jew with one opinion, what bothers me in terms of the what I was saying about riding on the backs of the Holocaust to complain about wearing a cloth mask, responding as only one Jew with one opinion, what bothers me is year by year, less people know about the Holocaust. The citation is made without understanding. The phrase never again has been ignored by those who are willing to let it happen again. The comparison is made as a way to say, look how awful that new thing is. In fact, there are far too many for whom the Holocaust is unfamiliar and just a standard reference to make your point. What bothers Jews about Holocaust references? Too many bad uses. Too few good uses. For the most part, I try not to compare anything to the Holocaust. Because only the Holocaust is the Holocaust. Just like only the genocide of Native Americans is the genocide of Native Americans. Just like only the Rwandan genocide is the Rwandan genocide. Genocides or attempts at genocide are all sui generis. They are their own thing. They are not part of a larger category. They exist in their horrors and their miseries in and of themselves. You know, you really don't often hear people on the left comparing anything to the Holocaust. But aggrieved white wingers, well, they draw the Holocaust like a gun. Maybe there needs to be some sort of a revision to Godwin's law. And we've crossed into the third hour of the program, and we are $105 away from done with fundraising for Wednesday. So it would be nice if we could take that down a little further, maybe even all the way, if possible. Dave, number 11, just pointed out a story to me from Business Insider. On the Trump Organization's website, they're selling a black baseball. No, wait, really. It's a black baseball with red stitching and the word Trump embroidered across it. Black and red. It was available for sale, apparently still is, for the low, low Trump Organization price of, wait for it, because we've been talking about it, $88. Business Insider noting, the Anti-Defamation League describes 88 as one of the most common white supremacist symbols and a code for Heil Hitler, because H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, therefore Heil Hitler 88. They never miss an opportunity to send out a little love to their Nazi base. Because without them, they're doomed. Oh, and a reminder coming in from Jeremy in Vermont. We announced the passing of right-wing racist crank Charlie Daniels the other day. Jeremy reminding me that Sister Carol Baker tweeted in response to his tweet. It was the last tweet he sent, as a matter of fact. Charlie Daniels tweeting, "Benghazi ain't going away." And Sister Carol Baker wrote, "Yes, it will, and now so have you. LOL." The black and red baseball doesn't have green lettering? No. It's black leather, you know, just like the Nazis favored. Red being their other favorite color in the stitching. And no, it doesn't have green lettering. It's all, the Trump is in red. Barbara pointing out that the geniuses over at Fox and Fiends, among them Brian Kilmeade, have declared that sending kids back to school teaches them how to take risks. On the other hand, however, the three hosts of Fox and Fiends are sitting in separate buildings, separate rooms, and not on that couch together, breathing, LARPing, and smolicking all over each other. Because do as I say, not as I do. Oh, wait. Well, thank you. Thank you, Billable Rick. I have received a cowbell for E Pluribus Junum. That was on the fly. Anticipating what comes next after Nino Vitale. Shorty in L.A. says, thanks for the new commercial. Airs at 2 a.m. Are you tired of getting tested? Listing all those side effects, right? And the last one is, some have reported death. As in the president of Burundi, no mask equaled his death. Yep, died around June the 8th, 2020. President of Brazil, another no-mask person, tested positive. Drum roll. Has Trump been obviously quiet since his Brazilian bro was in the news? I bet Trump's more scared than a turkey on Thanksgiving Eve. I'm just saying. Well, I know. Sounds like a 2 a.m. ad, doesn't it? Todd in South Carolina, Stan, observing a little bit ago. Are you priming us for the end of the Republic tomorrow morning? Well, I wouldn't say priming, Todd. But I think it's only fair to warn. You know, in psychology, there's a duty to warn. In psychiatry, there's a duty to warn. Well, in political conversation, isn't there a duty to warn? Well, all the chips are on the table in the morning. Except to the extent that this will only apply to Donald Trump. If there's another Democrat in office, Brett Kavanaugh, we'll have another change of heart. Because they are a bunch of political scum. Oh, let's see here. There's so much other. Because, you know, there was... There was another Supreme Court case today. It didn't end well either. The case was styled Our Lady of Guadalupe School versus Morrissey Baru. And that was another one of those 7-2 decisions that the liberal members of the court joined in on. I wonder what deal they made with the devil that required them to sign on to that. After having ruled that you can't fire somebody under the Civil Rights Act for being a member of the LGBTQ community. Well, in Our Lady of Guadalupe School versus Morrissey Baru, the Supreme said, however, that discrimination laws do not apply if you're a teacher in a church-run school and you teach religious subject matter. So for all intents and purposes now, thanks to this bunch of jurisprudential vandals, you can be discriminated against at will in a religious school. The name of the case stems from the name of one of the plaintiffs, Agnes Morrissey Beru. And she taught at the aforementioned Our Lady of Guadalupe School. And she taught one class on the history of the church. Now, the history of the church is not a religious doctrine class. It is a history class. She also directed an Easter play. And since the school required her to do it, she prayed and prayed every day with the students. But like, you know, like any human being who remains alive, she started getting older. And Our Lady of Guadalupe School canned Agnes Morrissey Beru for getting old. Plain and simple. And then when she sued, Our Lady of Guadalupe School said, we're immune. You're a minister. Now take just for a moment the audacity of that lie coming from Our Lady of Guadalupe School. If there is one thing that everybody in the world knows about Roman Catholicism, it is that you can't be a priest and be female at the same time. Now, you can be a deviant pedophile and be a priest. You can be an enabler of pedophiles and be a fucking archbishop or even pope. Hi, Benny the Rat. How's that retirement going? But no, they actually argued that she was a minister and therefore they could can her. And the court concludes in this bass-ackward decision that even if a teacher teaches in a Catholic school and isn't Catholic, even if it would be against the rules for them to eat the magic cracker and drink the magic grape juice, the court said that such teachers are still ministers of the Catholic faith. Sonia Sotomayor dissented. She said, "This sweeping result is profoundly unfair. The court is not only wrong on the facts, but its error also risks upending anti-discrimination protections for many employees of religious entities." Justice Sotomayor, not to put too fine a part on it, ma'am. That was the point! And in a true moment of ecumenicalism, Russell Moore, who's president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission at the Southern Baptist Convention, not known for its kindly feelings towards your Roman Catholics. Well, he was plumb giddy with the decision and said, "Faith-based organizations have the constitutional right to hire those that share the organization's belief." And so, once again, the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is exposed as little more than a life support system for the religion industry. We now have a ruling that says that taxpayer monies can be given to religious institutions and religious schools, thereby establishing a religion like the First Amendment says you can't. but the wild-eyed religious cabal on the Supreme Court says you can. There was another teacher, Kristen Beal. She taught math and English and so forth to fifth graders. She also taught a class about, you know, the very ground level basic stuff about Catholicness. And she prayed with the kids as required as a condition of her employment. She didn't live to see the decision. Our Lady of Guadalupe School shit-canned Kristen Beal as soon as she told them that she would need to take time off because she had contracted breast cancer. God damn them! If there was a God to do that sort of thing. Oh, what's that? Oh, you have breast cancer? Well, we'll certainly light a candle to some saint for you. You're fired. And the Supreme Court of the United States said it was perfectly okay for a religious school to consider a fifth grade teacher a minister in complete contravention of Roman Catholic doctrine and fire her because she got breast cancer. Hoo-wee! Fire me up some Lee Greenwood! I want to hear some more of that God Bless the USA! Kristen Beal died last year. And Our Lady of Guadalupe School could not, by any measure, have fucking cared less. It's a horrible decision. And it will have reverberations for decades to come, because that's the way it works with the Supreme Court. This is another one of those indications of how much work we have to do. This is why, among other reasons, whomever Joe Biden chooses as his vice presidential running mate has to be prepared to be president of the United States during Joe Biden's first term, if mortality should happen to catch up with him, and has to be a good enough politician to run for and hold two terms in office. Because the work of cleaning up this nasty religious cabal's hateful work is going to be the work of a generation or more. How much time passed between Plessy and Brown v. Board of Education, which nominally overruled Plessy versus Ferguson? 60 years? And how much more time after Brown versus Board of Education? Well, I can't ask that question because we still haven't fixed the right-wing grenades tucked away in Brown versus Board of Education. And of course, hardcore right-wing Roman Catholic Justice Sammy shoot the black kid in the back of the head at 30 feet, even though he's not a threat and he's running away, Alito wrote the opinion. Our Lady of Guadalupe School versus Agnes Morrissey Beru and St. James School versus Daryl Beal, personal representative of the estate of Kristen Beal. So they weren't both St. Guadalupe. I guess you could argue that St. James School was just slightly shittier than what Our Lady of Guadalupe was, because St. James School, well, how funny. The book of James is the book of the New Testament that says faith without works is dead. And so, too, by the time this was decided, was Kristen Beal. Because St. James School was willing to talk about their faith, but they weren't willing to do the work of it. So Alito delivers the opinion of the court. It goes on at great length, enshrining discrimination in the law of the land in the name of a religion of peace and love. And remember, it was a 7-2 decision. Other opinions, functionally judicial masturbation, were also filed. Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and Ann's boy Neil joined together in a concurrence with Alito's opinion. The court properly notes that judges have no warrant to second-guess the school's judgment of who should hold such a position or to impose their own credentialing requirements. I write separately, however, to reiterate my view that the religion clause of the First Amendment, the religion clauses require civil courts to defer to religious organizations' good faith claims that a certain employee's status is ministerial. Even when it's obviously at odds with the doctrine of the said church itself. Oh, by the way, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, is alleged to be one of those weirdo Opus Dei types. And all by themselves, Justice Sotomayor and Justice Ginsburg dissent. Justice Sotomayor writing, in the court's view, because the employees taught short religion modules at Catholic elementary schools, they were ministers of the Catholic faith and thus could be fired for any reason, whether religious or non-religious, benign or bigoted, without legal recourse. The court reaches this result even though the teachers taught primarily secular subjects, lacked substantial religious titles and training, and were not even required to be Catholic. But being nice people, they left out the fact that while they could be fired because they were ministerial for any reason, we are talking about a church that has a long history of not firing actual priests for fucking little boys. Just, you know, saying. Yeah. And big thanks to Barbara. Thank you so much, Barbara. We're down to $70 to go to finish the evening. And that is tremendous. Thank you, Barbara. If we could knock down $70 in the next 30 minutes, it'd be a prayer meeting miracle. Going back a story to the black baseball with the red stitching. As an observation, Darlene in Connecticut says, I'm also wondering if the black baseball with red stitching is also meant as a subtle racist dog whistle to conjure or invoke the idea of the black lawn jockey statues. That's what I thought when you described it. Because, of course, blackface and the bright red jacket. Yeah, I've seen a million of them. This seems, you know, one woman's nightshirt is another woman's pajamas, Darlene. But $88, black and red, principal colors of the Nazi flag. I think the majority of it was aimed at the Nazis. Because that $88 was not selected because of based upon some calculus of the base wholesale cost of the production of the baseball. And of course, why black? Baseballs are, and this isn't me channeling my inner Megyn Kelly by any stretch of the imagination. Baseballs are white. Now, occasionally you'll see those day-glow green or day-glow orange softballs, but the standard baseball in Major League Baseball is white with red stitching. Lee in New York, as to this case, you're in our religion if we decide you are. Remember when Mormons decided that Anne Frank was a Mormon? And sends me to the link of the posthumous baptism of Anne Frank by the Mormon Church. No. And she's got her private planet. Well, it's not her private planet because there's a man she has to serve. In Mormon theology, but you know she's sitting there on her planet as a sister wife, and maybe one of the other sister wives comes up and says, "Hey, Anne, here's a big plate of bacon." Little Anne Frank says, "Well, I guess I can eat that now because I'm a Mormon." God. An update from Dave number 11. I talked to a friend in New Zealand yesterday. They have no native cases of COVID-19. By the way, hi, Jimmy. Jimmy's our New Zealand correspondent. They have no native cases of COVID-19. They have readmitted 27,000 Kiwis, all of which had to quarantine for 14 days before they were released to go home. There are 9 active cases of coronavirus in quarantine, all returning from foreign countries. Day-to-day lives are absolutely normal, with no restrictions, no masks, and no novel coronavirus deaths. But, as Dave notes, they have freedom, and plenty of it. Can be done. It can be done. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, it's surprising the baseball doesn't have the lightning bolts, you know, the Schutzstaffel. Well, that might have been a little too obvious, Jimmy. Mr. Cotter, Bob just said duty. That from Shorty in L.A. We have to keep standards up here. Back to old Nino Vitale in Ohio. Flavio says, only criminals wear masks. Looking at Nino Vitale's Facebook posts, what a friggin' idiot. Probably a frat boy in college. But he does get a lot of pushback. One constituent said, I'm concerned with your statement, only criminals wear masks. You don't know any health professionals? Welders? Construction workers? And, of course, he's also a gun nut. No surprise there. No surprise there. He may be getting pushback, but I doubt if there's enough to keep him from getting reelected. Oh, and I don't know if Richard's listening this evening, Richard down in Tennessee, but the last time we talked, he was talking about his upcoming rotator cuff surgery. A note for you, Richard, if you are listening, from our buddy Tosh. Having trashed my rotator cuff falling off a bike, please let Richard know that there isn't a significant equipment advantage in any PT suite. As I recall from 2008, when I tore up my right shoulder, rotator cuff surgery PT involves hand weights in one-pound increments from 0.5 to 10 pounds, a string device to use one arm to lift the other, and perhaps resistance bands. A heating pad and ice pack are about all else that are used in those sessions. So you might be able to do most of it at home, Richard. Thank you, Tosh. Good information for from one community member to another. Jeremy with a note about National Geographic. In its ongoing fantasy of the end of Nazi Germany, National Geographic has had a show for two seasons about the last days of Hitler. One episode in particular dealt with the Hitler Youth. And yes, they had a small clip in which they zoomed in real good on the then brown shirt Hitler Youth to be a Nazi Pope. That would be Pope Benny the Rat, who was John Paul II's enforcer against all them liberals. Steve in New York says, I actually think religious schools should be allowed to discriminate in this way as a general matter. However, when a school receives government money, is the beneficiary of government largesse, no exemption should apply. The only way, therefore, to support such a decision is to get rid of the exemptions for charitable contributions. I'll be honest with you, I think all this goes to needing to make serious changes to the tax code in general. I'm of the opinion that there should be zero tax deductions for anything. We can talk on Friday on the front porch to work it out in detail what I'm thinking. Sounds like it'll be worth tuning in for Friday on the front porch, because Steve's already got an issue to bring to the table. I just wonder if there should be religious schools. I know that marks me as like some sort of horrifying super leftist. Well, I knew there'd be some pushback and problem out of it somewhere. Jeremy in Vermont says, how dare you make a slight reference in fun to Megyn Kelly for her Santa's White proclamation? Well, at least you remember, Jeremy, so, you know, that's what matters. Lee in New York, only bad guys wear masks? Holy crime fighter! What about Robin? Does Batman know? I know. The ultimate question, though, is whether Nino Vitale thinks a Klansman wearing a mask is a bad guy. I'll bet he doesn't. Flavio, isn't Ohio, like Wisconsin, hideously gerrymandered to favor Republicans like Wisconsin? How do you fight that? It's difficult. But everything is a matter of getting out the vote. Sometimes you fight gerrymandering by letting Mother Nature do some of it. By letting nature take its course. Because as the saying goes, cemeteries are full of people who consider themselves indispensable. And as far as kids going back to school, Eileen in New York with some analysis via Twitter. Kids back to school frees the parents to hurry back to work equals re-up the economy equals money equals get out of jail free card for Donnie equals mission accomplished. I have no doubt that that is their that's their calculus, Eileen. Like I said, though, I'm still trying to figure out what happens to our school kids when they come home and they bring the Rona home and mommy and or daddy die of it. What kind of psychic trauma is that on a child? Oh, hey, you killed your parents. You didn't mean to, but you did. What a hell of a thing to live with. Been a busy day. But since we were talking about religion industry outfits, Paycheck Protection Act, remember that? We were going to keep businesses afloat so that they could keep their employees on the payroll. Here's some Paycheck Protection Act recipients. $1 to $2 million to the St. Luke United Methodist Church of Columbus, Georgia. $1 to $2 million for the Catholic Diocese of Columbus, Ohio. World Harvest Church of Columbus, Ohio got some $1 to $2 million. $1 to $2 million for the Xenos Christian Fellowship Incorporated of Columbus, Ohio. Student Mobilization Inc. of Conway, Arkansas got $1 to $2 million. I'm sorry, New Life Church of Arkansas got $2 to $5 million. Hope Presbyterian Church Incorporated of Cordova, Tennessee got $1 to $2 million. Transformation Ministries, $1 to $2 million. Diocese of Covington, Kentucky, $5 to $10 million. You might recall that's the diocese where those little assholes came from that started all that shit in D.C. Church Unlimited of Corpus Christi, Texas, $1 to $2 million. $1 to $2 million Transformation Ministries Covina, California. Roman Catholic Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. $1 to $2 million. $2 to $5 million to Elm Christian Services of Crestwood, Illinois. The Bible League of Crete, Illinois got $1 to $2 million. And $1 to $2 million went to the Culpeper Baptist Retirement Community, Inc. of Culpeper, Virginia. The Baptist General Convention of Texas got $2 to $5 million. First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. That would be the where all the Covidiots were, where the 200 unmasked choir members spewed virus particles at the Vice President of the United States on the front row, even as all the congregants behind him were LARPing and smolicking all over everybody. Yeah, that's them. The Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship of Dallas, Texas, got $2 to $5 million. The Potter's House of Dallas, Inc., got $2 to $5 million. $1 to $2 million went to Christ for the Nations, Inc. Congregation Emmanuel got $1 to $2 million. Roman Catholic Diocese of Dallas, they got $1 to $2 million. These are all numbers from the Washington Post. St. Michael and All Angels Episcopal Church of Dallas got $1 to $2 million. St. Monica Catholic School of Dallas got $1 to $2 million. The Church of the Incarnation of Dallas got $1 to $2 million. $1 to $2 million went to the Episcopal Church of the Good Shepherds of Dallas. St. Edward the Confessor School of Dana Point, California, got $1 to $2 million. In Danbury, Connecticut, Guideposts, a church corporation, got $1 to $2 million. In Dayton, Ohio, the Ohio Conference of Seventh-day Adventurers got $1 to $2 million. The Star of Hope Activity Center of Deadwood, Oregon, got $1 to $2 million. In Dearborn, Michigan, the Church of the Divine Child got $1 to $2 million. And, of course, the Denton Bible Church of Denton, Texas, they got $1 to $2 million. Religious freedom. Why couldn't they pray to Jesus to take care of their needs instead of asking the taxpayers to. Hey, God. Bad day for Kaylee Maganini. She showed up to tell some lies and ran across a problem or two. Because, well, she's only there to abuse facts. That's another way of saying lie. And so she takes the following question. If it's safe to send kids back to school, is it safe to send Manafort back to prison? And upon being asked the question, she just walked off. She scampered off. Kaylee Maganini ran away, away. No, I didn't. Bravely ran away, she did. Yes. Thanks, Dave, for that. Flavio with a reminder. My favorite Payroll Protection Act recipient was the Ayn Rand Foundation. That takes the cake. Yes, it did. The Ayn Rand Foundation, which does not believe in the government's right to, you know, tax people, or generally speaking, have money, suddenly decided they liked them some payroll protection. How about that? And so with 13 minutes to go, I'll just sit here and say we got $70 to finish. The evening's fundraising. And that's just us. Thanks to everybody who has responded and knocked down Chris's challenge and taken a bite out of the remainder. Like I've said before, it's going to be a brutal couple of months. And it seems weird in July to be saying we have to be getting ready for winter, but a place like this, we got to. We've made some small repairs, you know, patches on the leaky boat, but there's going to have to be some big things happen here to get this house through another winter. The timing is awful. And by the way, the Ayn Rand Foundation, they got a PPP loan between $350,000 and $1 million. And the best part of those loans is you don't necessarily have to pay them back, and nobody's going to get real upset. And so the Maggot administration made sure that they paid their friends handsomely. Notice the money that went to the First Baptist Church of Dallas. Look, notice the number of religious institutions in Texas. Yeah. Lee in New York, when kids bring corona home, the Republican spin on this is simple. Kid goes to school, parents get sick because they have all the health care they can afford, meaning none. Parents unable to work, new people for the workforce, now starting work young. Freedom! Exactly, Lee. Oh, and let's do another anti-mask idiot in the time remaining. Oh, yeah, that's right. Steve in New York points out. Grover Norquist, remember? Grover Norquist, who used to make Republicans sign no new taxes pledges, who said that he wanted to make government small enough to drown it in a bathtub. Yeah, his outfit got money from the government, taxpayer dollars. there's been there's a bit of a transformation going on in the mask controversy. The only people who think this is controversial are idiots. And so, this woman, it's not just that she won't wear a mask, it's that there's something wrong with you if you do.
Why are you angry if I wear a mask?
It's ridiculous.
Because you're wearing a mask out of stupidity and you're further pushing the agenda. And the agenda is the deep state, which wants to control all of us and have us living in fear and thinking that you're contaminated.
It is false narrative. And when you wear a mask, which you can certainly do, you are further pushing the agenda that is condemning all of us and keeps us living in a state of terror.
Yeah. Oh, and remember this asshole from yesterday? He was acting kind of cop-like. Well, he wasn't a cop.
You're 6 feet away from you.
You're harassing me.
I'm not harassing you. You're coming close
back
to me.
Back off!
Yes.
Threaten me again!
Yes.
And by the way, you can see what appears to be the print of a handgun under his red ruling the world since 1776 t-shirt. As he screams at an old lady. This was at a Costco in Florida. And he was promptly identified. He's an insurance salesman. Or was. Because the insurance outfit that he worked for promptly fired him. And hopefully this video will follow him wherever he goes. And I don't know, maybe he'll finally get a job with some right-wing think tank, some wingnut welfare outfit. Or maybe, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. You know, maybe he'll repent and be forgiven. At which point, well, the prayer meeting Wednesday rules say that you have to forgive, you know, if you're a Christian. A little bit more fun before we get out of here. I don't know why the problem's at Costco, but it is. This woman's been to, like, YouTube medical school or something.
Say cheese, you're in Costco not wearing your mask, refusing to wear your mask.
Yes, call the police.
And here's her mother.
Once again, she's in Florida.
Can you call your manager?
Sorry?
Can you call her your manager?
Yes. Wait, call my manager?
He's taking pictures of me because I haven't had a moment to put my mask on.
You can put it on right now, ma'am.
You're shaming me. I'm not going to do that for you.
You should be ashamed.
I'll do that when I'm ready to do it.
You should be ashamed.
It's ridiculous to shame people. Don't you have anything better to do?
No, not right now, I don't.
Do you understand science?
Science?
Science.
Maybe better than you do.
Maybe.
Apparently, I'm the one protecting other people by wearing a mask.
Doctor.
Are you? Well, great.
Yeah.
Pull out your ID. I want to see.
We know what to do.
I want to see your credentials. Pull them out.
Honey,
if you're a doctor, let's see them.
My breath, so you can go away with your phone, and you can figure out what you need to do with your life, and I'll figure out what I need to do with mine. You're protected right now.
You're about to be escorted out of the store if you don't put in your mask.
I'll wait till he tells me, okay?
Let's see. You've already been told multiple times to put on your mask by me and employees.
I know. You're such a good boy.
Thank you very much. I try. I take my health and the health of others very seriously.
That's why you have masks on. I take mine very seriously.
Yeah.
And her mother, her elderly white-haired mother on a scooter cart is behind her with no mask in a state that is burning with COVID-19. But she's a smartass and claims she's a doctor. Yeah, from Google, you know, YouTube Medical School. Is this like the cherry Dr. Pepper ads where Gene Simmons of KISS said, "Trust me, I'm a doctor"? There's not enough follow-up to know whether or not, eventually a Costco employee says, "We'll take care of this." Well, this has to sting. Mike Pence's Indiana prayer group minister, an evangelical by the name of Reverend Rob Schenck, he was his minister back when he was just Representative Mike Pencilneck Geek. Reverend Schenck said, if he were to seek pastoral counseling from me, I'd say to him, "Brother Mike, Jesus commands you to love your neighbor, not love your boss." And recently sent him a letter along the same lines. And Reverend Schenck said he will vote for Joe Biden. It will be his first vote for a Democratic candidate since he voted for Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher Jimmy Carter in 1976. But Mike Pencilneck Geek, he's going to rely on science where things like reopening schools are concerned. Speaking to reporters today, he said, let's go to the...
I've been impressed by governors in both political parties and health officials in all of our states and our territories with the way they put the health of their people first. But I must also say that I have a great sense talking to governors and a great sense that this is something the American people want to see happen, and governors are hearing that. They know that, and that's why you have 47 states that have already issued plans.
And he's talking about going back to school. The American people want that, even though the American people don't want that. Not if it means putting their children and grandchildren's lives at risk and their own as well.
Guidelines, and we're going to work with them to make those a reality.
Last question, guys. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I have two questions, one for you and then one for Dr. Redfield. Can you explain why the president is threatening to cut funding from schools at a time when educators are saying they need more so they can safely reopen?
Caitlin, first and foremost, it's what you heard from the president is just a determination to provide the kind of leadership from the federal level that says that we're going to get our kids back to school, because that's where.
Yeah, your ears are lying to you again, Caitlin. He didn't say what you heard him say. He didn't say he was going to withhold funds from schools. That was just his determination, because I, Mike Pence, am an evangelical Christian, and therefore I'm such a pathological fucking liar, I can't tell the same lie twice. But that's not the hockey puck moment.
Where they belong. And we know, based upon what our best health officials tell us, that we can do that in a safe and in a responsible way. But to be clear, the current CARES Act provided $13.3 billion to support education efforts in states in the midst of the pandemic. We're going to work with Congress. We expect there'll be additional support there. But the president's just very serious. For all the
That money's gone, dumbass. Oh, and by the way, in light of the Our Lady of Guadalupe school ruling today, I guess that means that religious schools that reopen, well, they can fire anybody who gets the Rona. And then they won't have any health care anymore. Freedom!
The reasons that we discussed today, he believes, and we believe, it's absolutely essential for our children's academic development and for their social and emotional and health and nutrition needs to be back in the classroom. And we're going to provide the leadership from the federal level to do that. But that being said, I will tell you, I sense a great desire among governors around the country to find a way forward, and we've made it very clear to them that we're going to partner with them, providing them with the resources to impact that, and also the supplies.
You're saying it's describing it as a local decision, so shouldn't it be up to them to decide if they can safely reopen and not the president saying he's going to pressure them to do so?
Well, look, we're going to respect those unique communities that may have challenges, that have rising cases or rising.
You know, we're going to respect them as long as they make sure that those communities vote for my boss. What did he say, 47 states? Wonder who the three states he hasn't talked to are. Don't you?
Positivity. And but I think you look at the nation as a whole. I think what the president of the United States has made clear is he thinks...
Oh, the nation's in a hole, all right.
As we reopen America, we need to reopen America's schools. It's just as the president said early in this pandemic that he wanted to get our places of worship back open again. I think what you're seeing, President...
Yeah, look what happened when we did that. Disease went wild because stupid Christians.
Provide is leadership, and what we're providing from the White House Coronavirus Task Force is partnership with the governors and with state health officials, because we got to get our kids back. I
here it comes, hockey puck.
I have to tell you, the best expert I know on this topic is my wife, Karen.
No, really, he said that. His wife, Karen, otherwise known as Mother, or as Daffy Duck says it, Mother, or as, no, it wasn't Stuart Copeland, it wasn't Sting, Andy Summers, maybe, in that one jarring song on Synchronicity 2. Mother! Or Roger Waters singing, Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb?
Mother.
The best expert on how to reopen schools that Mike Pencilneck Geek knows is his itinerant art teacher wife, Karen. This is one of those moments when it would be handy to have Scott from San Diego on board to declare, we're all screwed, Bob. Yep, Mother. The biggest expert he knows on schools and coronavirus is a woman who will not allow her husband to be alone in a room with a woman who isn't her. Wow! A prime candidate, says Steve in New York, for Backpfeifengeschichte. A face needing slapping. Shorty in L.A. says, sounds like Pence is afraid to breathe corona on the reporter. Steve noted, envy of the world. I happened to look at the new cases in the U.S. versus the whole world. We have 27.81% of the new cases and 4.23% of the population. Look at that winning. We're number one. We're number one. USA. USA.
And tomorrow, if I got the coronavirus, at least I'd still be free. And there ain't no way they're gonna put one of them masks on me. God bless the USA!
That stupid song is just a gift that keeps on giving. And so here we are, 5 minutes past the end of the program. And time to get out of here. But I want to thank all of you for keeping this program possible. Day in and day out. Thank you to everybody who met Chris's challenge. And thank you for the help getting us down below almost to having the complete job done. Thank you. So we'll be at 270 tomorrow. Thank you. How apropos, says Brother Deacon Asa. Pencil Dick's wife is a Karen? Yes, she is. Yes, she is. I think that's why Karen became a word, because of mother. I want a reminder. The best place, as you may have noticed if you were listening on Progressive Voices last night, the best place to listen to Malloy is HeadOn.live. Because, well, they kind of fucked up over there and cut off the end of his cut off the end of the program. Don't know why. But if you want to get the whole thing, by golly, get it here. HeadOn.live, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Raring to go, Mike Malloy. And if you want to, you can even hang out in the chat room and talk about the program there. Augment the listening experience. Fine by me. We're neighborly like that. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, however you so choose to do. Thank you to our news ninja, chat room moderator, pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator, and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And a reminder, if you do business with Amazon, please use smile.amazon.com and nominate Coal River Mountain Watch as the recipient of a portion of your purchase proceeds. Doesn't cost you any more. It's easy. And it, if enough of us are doing it, it makes a big old difference for the in the grassroots struggle in which Coal River Mountain Watch is engaged. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And now more than ever, stay home if it is all humanly possible for you to do. If you have to go out, maintain your social distance. Please wear your mask. Please wear gloves. Use hand sanitizer. I'm so obsessive compulsive. I spray hand sanitizer on the gloves before I take them off. And then I sanitize my hands. Will it protect me? There's no way of knowing. But we're trying. Because my family depends on that. If you're out in public and you see somebody garbling and huffing and chuffing and larping and smollicking and grabulating and tossling and mumbling and stumbling and bumbling down the aisle, down Action Alley in Wally World towards you, and they're wearing a maggot hat or they're wearing a maggot T-shirt or they even utter the word Trump, or if they just look like they're probably a Trump voter, avoid them like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.